Hi, and welcome to this new episode. Today, I'm with Noor, who's a coach helping people to get a muscle on a high-raw diet. And you may notice that's also what I do. So today, we're going to do a little experiment, actually. Instead of me asking questions to my guest as usual, he will coach me. And the idea is that it gives a little bit more of a inside view of what happens within the coaching rather than just talking about it and make it practical. By the way, Noor, I saw you did a really beautiful interview with Dylan. So if people want to listen to an interview with you where you share more about your tips in general, they can listen to that interview. I'll put the link in the description. But now it's going to be more tailored to me, actually. So I'm grateful. I'm getting a free session from you, Noor. And I want to share a little bit before we start about being a coach into something, to me at least, doesn't mean you need to be the absolute best and you know everything. So for example, for me, I know I can help people getting fit on a high fruit-based diet. That being said, I'm also still a work in progress, and we'll talk about it. We'll see that through that coaching. But there are things I still want to learn. There are things I still want to improve in my embodiment of health and fitness and well-being. And so to me, it's actually totally fine to receive coaching on something I'm coaching. And I believe a lot of people actually become coach of something because they're interested in getting better in it themselves, and they've worked on it also. And the other thing is, living in a world of abundance, I believe there's going to be a lot of coaches who do the same as we do. So yeah, there's no competition between us. There's like so many people who are, I believe, going to go on this lifestyle and diet. And so it's my pleasure if I introduce people who do the same work as I do. So that was a little bit of a parenthesis. And I'm excited because I don't know what's going to happen. Usually I'm more preparing an episode. Now I'm just like, okay, I give it to you, Noor. So let's start our coaching session. Thank you so much. And you can do a little intro like in a minute if you want, and then dive into the coaching like I'm your client.
Sure, sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me on, man. It's a pleasure. It was nice getting to know you during our initial interaction. And I'm happy to be on and share some more about plant-based fitness, right? And specifically building muscle with a high raw plant-based diet, right? Because a lot of times people do not equate a plant-based diet with the ability to gain muscle, right? That is such, it's one of the biggest myths out there. And understandable, because there's this protein, you know, push where you got to get protein from animal-based products, right? That's a huge thing that, you know, is marketed and really pushed out there. But based on my experience with myself and also coaching other people, you can definitely gain lean muscle mass through a plant-based diet, right? And you can do it in a very, very clean and mostly raw way, right? So, you know, I currently don't take any supplements. I don't suggest anyone take supplements. That's currently where I'm at right now. Who knows, down the line I might switch up. But it's very possible. So, and, you know, I always like to put that out there, because even if, you know, people are within the plant-based or raw vegan community, they may not be aware that they can actually transform their body and gain muscle eating the same exact foods that they're consuming, right? Because that was a limiting belief for me back in the day. So just wanted to get that out there. My name is Noor. I'm a plant-based fitness coach, yoga teacher, lover of all natural things, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to healing and wellness. And more recently, I've really been diving deep into building muscle through a plant-based diet. I've done it myself, where I've gained 15 pounds of lean muscle in the past 8 to 10 months, eating a very clean plant-based diet, lifting 3 to 4 times per week. And it feels great, and I'm continuing to gain. And I'm getting stronger and stronger as I go. And I'm eating the exact same foods that I was eating previously to detoxify my body, right? So it's like this contrast of detox and gain, right? Which you can actually do at the same time, but it's a topic for another conversation. So with that being said, Alex, I understand you have some goals, right? You have some goals of wanting to build lean muscle mass through a plant-based diet. And I'm going to ask you a few quick questions just to kind of figure out what exactly is your goal in particular, what is keeping you from attaining that goal, and what you think you need the most help with, right? And once I get that information, we'll then move on to actual coaching, okay? So does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Thank you. By the way, I'm moving because I'm on a treadmill because I want to get a few steps while I do the calls.
Yes, yes. And you're already doing the coaching, man, because I always make sure people get at least 10,000 steps in. So, I mean, you're already there, bro. So with that being said, Alex, what exactly is your main goal when it comes to building muscle? Is there a particular amount of weight that you want to gain? Is there a particular physique you're looking for? Any description you can give me?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. Oh, good.
There we go.
So basically, I'd like to have a little bit more chest. And I'd like to have a little bit more chest, like a bit more volume on the chest. And I'd like to have more, like to see the abs also. Maybe a little bit more definition on the shoulders, like the delts.
Okay.
So, and then, I mean, to me, it's a combination of how I look and how strong I feel. Also, so basically it'd be aesthetically, it's mainly the upper area. And then strength-wise, it's the whole area. Like I want to be able to squat powerfully, for example.
Got you. And are there any particular numbers that you want to reach in terms of weight or how much you want to lift with a squat per se?
I haven't really put numbers. Like I could share with you like a photo of an ideal physique, for example. It's like it's quite close to a Ted Carr kind of physique. Maybe even a bit less, to be honest. So I'm imagining like, I don't know, if it's just upper body, chest, maybe 3 kilo or something.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely do 3 kilos, man. That's very attainable. It's very doable. So just to kind of recap, you want to gain a little more size and mass in your chest. You want to define your shoulders and get, you know, ripped abs, right? A little more definition in the abs. That is all very achievable. And it's something that a lot of us want. So that's good to know. So what do you think is your biggest challenge with achieving that physique?
I have a little bit of things that where sometimes it's conflicting between for the quantities to eat, for example, because when I tell you I want to gain muscle mass, then I feel okay, I should eat more. But then when it comes to being more lean and shedding around the abs, especially, then I feel, oh, maybe I should eat less. So that's one thing where, like, I'm not sure. And also the other thing, so that's for the food. For the food, there's a little bit, and then we could go a little bit on the things around what to eat and the protein. And the other part is on my training. So I alternate between calisthenics and weights. And I like things to be convenient. So I was traveling a bit and I was doing more calisthenics. Now I'm back home and I have my home gym, but with more single weights. I can't do like heavy squats, for example. I don't have big barbells. And I basically alternate between things that are more calisthenics and things that are more muscle building with single weights. And I wonder sometimes is that like to make progressive overload, having different exercises, sometimes it makes things a bit complicated. So I was making progress on my more bodybuilding, higher reps. And then I went to calisthenics and I made progress on number of pull-ups and number of weighted push-ups. But now I feel more drawn again to the weights, but I can notice I've lost a bit in these specific movements. So I don't know if I should stick to really one type of exercise and keep increasing on that type, or if it's good to alternate a little bit. So that's probably, yeah, a bit of the changes. And then I also think I'm doing generally like pretty well, and I also need to be a bit patient, that I look pretty good already, but that things take time, you know. It can take years, I think, to like
indeed
build those muscles. So also some patience.
Okay, so just to understand correctly, you have been applying progressive overload with certain calisthenics exercises, and you've seen some results doing that, and you're wondering if you should add some more variety to it, or do something else. Is that right? Am I getting that correctly?
Let's say the most I've done with is actually with the weights. The calisthenics was more in the past 2 months. Okay. But in the past 6 months, it's been mainly, so I did a fast 2 week early July, and then I did 3 months of weights, and then more a month and a half of calisthenics. And I like to beat my records, but when I switched exercises, it made it less like, when I did the calisthenics and I went back to my free weights, I noticed like I hadn't improved, even like maybe I needed to get back to where I was when I left it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I can definitely tell you that the progressive overload is probably the best route to consistently gain over time. And within that, you can, you know, slowly introduce new exercises and, you know, add a little more variety in what you do. But the guaranteed way that you can consistently gain is by basically doing the same stuff by just adding more weight as you go, right? And you found success with that. So I'd say, yeah, keep it up, man. Yeah, you know, and I always also say, and this goes a little more with the, you know, actual science behind the exercise, the movements, is always go until failure, right? So finding that weight that allows you to fail between 10 to 15 reps, 15 at the most, right? I usually like to do 8, right? Because I'm really looking for bulk. I'm a very naturally skinny guy myself. And a lot of people that I work with are very, very thin. So I usually go between 8 to 10 reps, 3 sets each exercise, right? And that is what I found the most success with in terms of building lean mass, right? Not just bulky mass where, you know, you're packing on weight, but you don't have the definition, right? So, okay, I got a good understanding of that. So what area do you feel like you need the most help with when it comes to gaining that muscle? In terms of diet, exercise, consistency, what do you think it is?
Maybe being a little bit more rigorous on having a plan. So at the moment, I'm like, okay, I feel like doing calisthenics and I'll do it and I'll see if I'm as good. Okay, now I feel like doing chest and... I mean, I track and I see that I get better. It's just in a slightly flowy way, which could be more structured. At the same time, I like a little bit of flow, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't really know.
Okay. Well, we can definitely figure it out for sure, man. So you're seeing results. You have been seeing results for quite a while. And you realize that it is a long-term game, right? In terms of building muscle, especially doing it sustainably, it's a long-term game. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that, you know, you can shed a whole lot of weight within 3 months, but there's only like a certain amount of muscle you can really gain in 3 months, right? You know, I actually have gained 10 pounds of lean muscle in about 3 to 4 months, but that's mainly because I went from doing calisthenics every once in a while and no weightlifting to straight just weightlifting 4 days a week, right? And so my body went through a shock period where all the muscles were rebuilding and whatnot. So with that being said, yeah, you have a question?
Actually, I'd love to ask now, because something came while you spoke about that, which was One thing is also recovery time. I actually quite enjoy working out, and I like an hour in my day where I go and I do the workout. So, for example, when I was doing the weights, I would do push movements, pull movements, legs, sometimes core, so and alternate. So when I do my push movements, like my dips and my push-ups and my overhead press, I mean, not push-up, it was more like with weights, but like the chest exercise and all that. Then the next day is when I do pull and legs, they're resting. And that allows me to work out almost every day. But then, especially when I listened to Ted, he said he was doing much better when he was working out less and only three times a week. So I'm very conscious of not training the muscles so much when they're sore and giving them time to recover. However, by rotating the muscle groups, I end up doing like maybe too much, because I think like even if they're different muscle groups, you know, when I do pull, it works a bit also the push muscles. Like, I wonder if I should take more days that are like pure rest.
Oh, so you don't have any just pure rest days currently?
I have some, maybe once a week in general. So I would typically do like, maybe push, pull, leg, core, rest, let's say, every 5 days, if it was a 5 days, something like this. Yeah.
Okay.
And core would be generally more gentle. It's like I actually do core. So sometimes when I do the other exercises, it's like a 40-minute Pilates class, for example.
Yeah. And that definitely helps with recovery, for sure. Speeds up the process. Pilates, yoga, meditation.
Yeah, I stretch usually between 10 and 30 minutes every night or so.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, in terms of recovery, it's definitely key, especially if you're doing it naturally, man. We need to recover, right? That is the time where we can actually build the muscle and see the results, right? If we're training every day, if we're training our muscles, the same muscles every single day, we're not giving it that adequate time to recover, rejuvenate, and rebuild, right?
So what if I rotate the muscle as I do with push-pull leg?
Yeah, well, you know, it differs for everyone, right? So typically I always say, you know, I'm working with a 21-year-old kid right now, super just energetic, you know, he recovers quickly. So he's working out every single day, and he's probably working out the same muscles 2 to 3 times a week, right? And he has no issues. He's waking up the next day feeling good, right? So it all kind of depends on your body. But I always say, if you feel like sore, right, within that particular muscle group, then you should probably give it some more time to rest, right? So in general, for me, I do 4 days on, right? So I do a three workout rotation, but I work out 4 days a week, right? So I do Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, then the weekends off, right? That's what works for me. And that's ideal, because every single workout, I am, you know, ready, I am fresh, I don't have any soreness, right? And I can perform effectively. That's the most important thing. We want to be fresh and perform effectively during our workouts, instead of pushing ourselves to, you know, get our workout in simply because it's Thursday and it's shoulder day. But if your shoulders are still sore from your last shoulder workout, do another workout, right? Or just take the day off, right? It's really important for us natural builders to listen to our body and give it the rest and recovery it needs, right? That's what I found the most effective. So listen to your body and see what, you know, what it needs, man. I think that's the most key part. But in general, 3 to 4 times a week, I found it's kind of like the average success rate that I found when it comes to the people that I've worked with. So,
I just want to add as a parenthesis also, as we're doing a podcast for the listener, it might be a bit harder as I still have goals, but I'm probably more on track than your usual clients. So it might be also, I don't know, like some things might be more obvious for others. I don't know if you want to share on that.
Yeah. So as a coach, and I understand you kind of have your own thing going on and you have your own, you know, goals. Obviously you're a coach yourself, but when I am speaking with clients, I do my best to try to get a number of some sort, right?
Okay.
Because that number provides a tangible target that we can continuously reach towards, right? It allows us to continuously stay motivated and reaching towards something, and it allows both of us to stay accountable, right? It gives accountability to not only them as a client, but me as the coach, right? Because if somebody says,
so let's do number. Let's say I want to gain upper body, mainly chest, let's say 3 kilo of lean muscle. How are we going to measure that?
That's a good question. So it's really measuring your weight gain and then taking the body fat percentage, right? So what body fat percentage you're currently at, okay? How much muscle, pure muscle that you want to gain, right? And then measuring your body fat percentage and your weight as you go along, right? And there's an equation that I really just use like an online calculator to equate that gives you the specific amount of muscle that you've gained as compared to fat, right? So that's really...
So I can measure my weight. How do I measure my body fat?
Yeah, so there are some digital tools that people can buy that kind of sends like electric signals. You hold them with both hands and send like electric signals, and they kind of gauge.
That's what I use, bioimpedance scan.
That's what it's called. Yes, you can do that. But I found the most effective and most accurate way is actually using the skin caliper method, right? So there's certain, like maybe a little more old school machines where they have certain calipers that you can, you know, place on certain body parts, right? Usually it's like the neck area, one maybe the chest, the belly, waist, thighs, you know, buttocks area. And that really gives I think a more accurate kind of description of what your body fat percentage is, because it's literally taking, you know, all of your body parts, your major body parts, and it's calculating what the muscle, the body fat percentage is, and what the muscle percentage is. Mm-hmm. But there's multiple ways of doing it. But
I
also,
like that though, because when I use InBody, I like it, but I can feel it's like not perfectly correct. I actually did a test once. I did it, and then I did it a minute later without doing anything, and it gave me like 1.5% different, like 1.5 point percentage, you know. So I went from like 11 to 12.5% body fat within a minute. So it never gave me like 20% or something crazy, but I think plus or minus 1.5, 2%, you know. So
You know, in terms of 100% accuracy, it's really tough to do. You know, unless you have like a very fancy machine of some sort. But what I always say is, you know, you can also use the eye test as well, right? So me, I'm not someone who can even put on weight very easily. Even if I eat a lot of fatty foods, it's really hard for me to build fat, gain fat, right? I naturally have a very low body fat percentage, very low. And so when I gain, and when I have gained, I can even tell by simply looking at myself that I haven't gained any fat. It's just pure muscle, because my muscles are just as defined as they were when I was thinner, right? So that eye test is a helpful thing. But again, it's kind of tough to get the 100% accuracy. It's more of like a target, like, okay, well, even if we didn't take the body fat percentage, you still have your muscle definition. You might even have more muscle definition, but now you're 10 pounds heavier, right? Or 3 kilos heavier. So it's like, okay, we'll say that you've gained it, right? So that's kind of how I gauge it. For the most part, people do it for the physique, and they do it for the strength, right? That's really the main thing. But it's always helpful to have that number, right? Just for something to continuously reach for. So my next question for you, man, is what are you currently consuming on a daily basis? Do you have kind of a regular food schedule? And how do you think that is working for you in your muscle gaining?
Okay. So I don't have a regular food schedule, but I end up eating quite similarly every day. Just usually I wake up around 6, around 8, 8:30. I have a celery juice most days that I make myself. And then usually around 10, I'll have like a good kilo of papaya. And then 2 hours later, I'll probably have three dragon fruits, 12. And then at 2 p.m., I'll have, let's say, four or five mangoes. And then maybe I'll have another bit of fruit, and it can switch, can be more watermelon instead of the dragon fruit. And it can be sometimes I have some bananas too, especially like if I worked out, sometimes I feel more like having bananas after. And usually around six, I'll have a big salad, which is actually a lot of fruits. It's savory fruits like tomato, cucumber, sometimes avocado, but usually not. Irish simos that I get here from Bali, we get on sauces. And I make usually a kind of pesto with herbs and nuts, which is the sauce, and a bit of like lemon and dates. That'd be the usual. Often as supplement, I take marine phytoplankton. I like this one; it was really good to me.
It's amazing.
Like the powder, and sometimes also. So that's like a typical day. But every other day, instead of some of the fruits, I'll make a smoothie. In that smoothie, I'll have a bit of fruit. I'll have some fruits. Like banana and dragon fruit. I usually like to put sprouts in there. I don't digest so well sprouts in salads, but in the smoothie works pretty well. And some powders like ashwagandha, maca, and cacao also. When I feel I want a bit of a boost, I put cacao in my smoothie. That's usually it. Yeah. Shilajit also.
Yeah. So do you have the the marine phytoplankton and the sea moss on a daily basis?
Almost, more like most days. Yeah.
Okay.
I track with chronometer. I'm usually 2,200 to 2,400 calories on a typical day. And I'm usually about 80%, 75 carbs, and then usually around 20% fat. And only 7 or 8 proteins. So I know in vision, we don't look so much about protein, but I'm like 7, 8, maybe I want to go more 10, you know, like 80, 10, 10 stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, protein, a high amount of protein is not necessary to build muscle. It's not, you know, once again, going back to the whole marketing ploy, you know, it's really, that's where that protein push really comes from. And I found that it's not the most healthiest, right? It's not what allows you to feel the best. And it can cause a lot of inflammation if you overdo the protein, right? So I think what you're consuming, to be honest, is perfect, right? It's completely perfect. And the amount of calories you're consuming, now eating more of what you're currently consuming will help you build the muscle, right? Even more so. Because it just provides more energies, more calories to help rebuild it. But I think the key really behind muscle building is consistently, progressively overloading, giving your body the recovery it needs to rebuild, and just making sure you're feeling yourself, right? And eating enough food until you're satisfied. And in terms of diet, I think what you're consuming is great, especially because you're consuming sea moss and the marine phytoplankton, which covers most of the minerals you need, right? When it comes to building in general and just keeping us vital, it's really about minerals and the nutrients and not just protein, right? So that's fantastic, man. I really don't have any adjustments I'd make to your diet, unless you have any particular questions.
Awesome. No, I'm very happy with, and again, you know, I think in general, I think I'm doing amazing, you know, but it's like, it's really interesting still to have that call for like the little details. And actually I had a little bit of an insight there. So thank you for that, but I'll ask you, I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if like I might have two conflicting goals, or let's say not necessarily conflicting, making it a little bit hard to have a plan and measure, which is bulking up more, like let's say the chest in general, more muscle, and getting more shredded in the core area. because of course this could happen together, but maybe I should focus on one first and then the other. Because for example, if we use weight as a tracking, if I increase, like if I'm clear and I want to gain muscle, as long as I don't get fat, you know, if I increase weight, then I know it's good for that goal. But then I might think it's not good for the abs. So, and same with the number of calories. It's like, if I want to build muscle, I'm clear. Okay, maybe I increase a bit the calories. Well, if I want to get more shredded, I'm like, oh, maybe I decrease. So I feel sometimes I'm a bit in between. So I'm wondering if maybe I should choose one of these two goals, maybe, and track for that, and have, you know, in the fitness, often like bulk and shed, it's like maybe doing two steps, but I also like to do it at the same time. So I don't know. Do you have advice on that?
Yeah, that's a great question, bro. Yes, you can do both at the same time. Definitely, 100%. And as you know, muscle weighs more than fat, right? So if you're going up in weight, you could be shedding fat as well, but you're building just a whole lot more muscle, right? So what I found is that I actually shed some fat as I built some muscle as well. I didn't really gain any fat at all. And that's mainly because I was doing a whole lot of breathing exercises, core work, yoga, that really allowed me to hone in on my fat shedding process, right? I don't just suggest weightlifting, especially for those who are trying to define muscle tone. If you want to define muscle tone, a quick and easy way to do it is by incorporating breath work techniques with movements, right? So the science behind that is they say like 70 to 80% of our fat cells are expelled through our breath, through the CO2 that we exhale. So when we can breathe deeper, more intentionally, more intensely, and combine it with certain movements, we shed more fat. And I have personal experience with this, man. I got super ripped just doing a breathing exercise. No calisthenics, no weight training, nothing. It got me six pack, you know, the V cut and everything. And when I then combine that with weight training, that's when I saw best of both worlds, right? So you can definitely do both at the same time. Some people like to focus on shedding the fat first and then bulking up. You know, I feel like that takes a little longer, and it's definitely doable, but I found a way to do both, right? And in terms of the calories, you know, if you're boosting up your calories, I think you should also be boosting up the energy that you're expending at the gym, right? And I think if you do that along with, you know, boosting up your calories, then, you know, you can avoid gaining fat and just really focus, hone in on building the muscle, right? Mm. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my answer to that, man. You can definitely shed fat and build muscle at the same time. And honestly, building muscle helps you shed fat if you're doing it the right way and you're eating right, and you are 100% eating right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, in terms of your fitness routine, right? I know you said you don't have a lot of structure to it. You do work out most days.
I actually do. I don't have so much structure in terms of doing exactly the same and having a week schedule. But for example, if I'm like, okay, I'm going to do free weight chest, I have my six exercises, two sets of each, and I track. So I've had, like, you know, a history of tracking with the same six. So when I decide what I do, it's actually quite structured. However, today I might be like, oh, I feel more like doing the calisthenics today, for example. If it's like, I feel like my back is good, my pull, I want to do pull, or maybe I'll do the weights, or maybe I'll do the calisthenics. And especially as I was moving, I think now I'm getting more into a structure.
Gotcha.
So I'm quite structured, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So in terms of the fitness, man, you can literally continue doing what you're doing, but just making sure you're incorporating that progressive overload, right? And doing that consistently, man, you will build strength. Therefore, you will continue to build muscle, right? So it's finding that balance between, you know, progressively overloading, recovering the body, and just eating enough of the right foods, right? So if you consistently do that over time, you will build muscle. And there's a way to obviously increase the intensity. And the best way to do that is increase the intensity in the gym, right? In terms of building muscle, the most important key factor is what are you doing in the gym, right? There's a holistic, natural, plant-based coach or doctor, actually. He's an actual like naturopath. And he has this quote that says, if you want to look like an athlete, you got to train like an athlete, right? If you want to look like your dad, then train like your dad. You know what I'm saying? So that always rings like in my head. It always runs in my head. And I'm like, whenever I'm in the gym, I'm thinking about that. I gotta train hard, right? So train hard safely, obviously. Give yourself the break, the rest you need, and you know, continue eating the right foods, man. And you'll definitely get to that 3 kilos, and I mean, even more so if you continue, right? So yeah, man, I think if you continue doing what you're doing, man, I would say definitely within the next 6 months, you can definitely gain those 3 kilos, right? The key is the progressive overloading and just making sure that you're continuously challenging yourself. Even if you only add like 2.5 pounds, right, every week, I think that consistent progress will definitely, you know, eventually show up, right? So any questions, man, based on, you know, all the information we went over?
Not really. So now I'm 69. So it's almost like if I would put a goal, I'd be 72 and make sure it's at least as lean, if not more. And that would be like a good way. And that's be achieved through progressive overload, which so makes me stronger. So then I'm stronger again, muscle, weight of muscle, and I stay lean, if not even more.
Yes, and like I said, I will provide you with some coaching, being that, you know, obviously I'm coaching here, but I will provide you with a 3 minutes basically breath work core routine will really help target the ab muscles, right? While you're doing this deep breathing, which will help shed that fat. And if you do it consistently, man, you're going to define that core for
Then
sure. Yeah.
is it through the nose?
It is through the mouth, actually. Out through the mouth. Yeah. Which I know a lot of people just or do not do. But for this particular exercise, because of how quick it is and how much oxygen you can inhale and exhale through the mouth, it is through the mouth. But as you know, a yoga instructor and somebody who's been practicing yoga and breath work for years, most 95% of the exercises I do is in and out through the nose for sure.
I follow a lot. Brian Mirabella.
No, I don't.
Okay, he's like a pretty ripped guy on fruit, and he's also a breathing instructor, and he's really not a fan of like anything around hyperventilation. And he's also a fan of like, so what I try, but I don't know, I'm open, but at the moment what I try to do in between sets is deep, slow breathing through the nose, and sometimes a bit of qigong movement or something like this. And I know now I have a bit of resistance to any breathing through the mouth. So sometimes I do breath work and pass us through the mouth, and I do through the nose or something. So maybe I'll adapt it anyway, but I'd be
Yeah,
curious.
and you know, if you're familiar with the breath of fire, it's basically like the fire, right? And in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, right? And you know, I agree, man. Definitely breathing in and out through the nose, slowly and deeply is definitely better for our nervous system. But in terms of, you know, energizing and getting the heat going and speeding up the metabolism, this is what I found to be the most effective for sure. It's actually an exercise known in Kundalini yoga by the name of Sa Ibi Kriya, right? So Sa Ibi Kriya, right? And it's very, very effective, man. Not only in, you know, shedding fat, but also energizing, right? Activating the navel points, which is the storehouse of all of our energy, and allowing us to kind of circulate that energy throughout and just feel overall better, man, and energize us and, you know, provide the mental clarity and all this stuff that, you know, breathwork provides in that fashion. So
nice. Yeah, I've done a lot of Kundalini yoga. It's definitely very energizing. So I'm open for that. Okay, one last little question. I mean, for me, I'm more into natural products, so it doesn't attract me really, but I've seen in my field, even in the more raw foodies that look good, creatine come up. I think Ted Carr takes it. I know Shane Sterling takes it. And, what's your view on creatine?
I think it's very helpful. I think I think it's very helpful. I think it's the most studied supplement out there. I know definitely workout supplement. So there's so much information, so many like, you know, positive studies of it, of how it, you know, causes minimal harm while allowing you to, you know, gain more strength, energy, muscle mass, etc. I currently don't take it, but that's only because I am now experimenting with doing a completely natural way of building muscle. But down the line, and I was just talking to my friend about this, down the line, I might switch it up and try some creatine, you know what I'm saying? But I guess it kind of depends on, you know, what your style is, right? If you want to stay completely all natural, literally without any, you know, synthetic supplements, then, you know, don't do it. that's my idea. But I think it's a very effective, and for the people who are either high raw vegan or just raw vegan in general who do take it, I've heard nothing but good things from them, you know. So the creatine addition. So
okay, yeah, that's the one thing synthetic where I'm like, I could, you know, I find it interesting, you know, because yeah, it seems to work really well, but it goes a little bit against like the principle. Like my mind is a bit like, okay, why would you take something synthetic and just for the aesthetics and all that? So yeah, let's see.
Yeah, no, I completely get it, man. I have considered it in the past, and I might be doing it, you know, and within the next year or so, who knows? But I'm still in my natural building journey, so I'm going to stick this out, see how much I can do, and then I might add some creatine and then bulk up, you know, 20 pounds in 3 months. Who knows?
Maybe do a little video, like I tried creatine and this is what happened for 3 months.
I was all natural for 1 year and I gained 15 pounds, but then I took some creatine and in 3 months I gained 20 pounds, bro. Yeah, bro.
Then I stopped the creatine for 3 months and I gained another 10 pounds.
Hey, because the creatine then just remained in my body forever, you know, and cool, man.
And I became Brazilian and gained another 10 pounds, but that's for another thing.
That's the next level. Honestly, I would love to get to that level. And I think that, who knows, down the line, man, I have considered becoming a breatharian many times. And, you know, during my, you know, deep, like, you know, mono fruit fasts for like a couple months and, you know, seeing God and being God for a little bit, or feeling kind of that, you know, energy where you just feel like you're the creator and you're connected with everything. I was like, you know what? I can become a breatharian too. I never quite got there and done, you know, some dry fast and some water fast as well, but I find it very, very interesting and intriguing.
Yeah.
Movement, man.
Next. Yeah, a few years. How to become a Brazilian bodybuilder. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody out there, man. I'm sure there's someone out there.
Yeah, okay, man. Thank you so much, Neil. That was really helpful for me. And I'm excited to publish it also so it can be helpful for other people and that other people, and that gives a good glimpse. So yeah, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for your time. And I'll give you the mic if there's something you want to share for a minute to close this episode.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's not one single way to do this, right? In terms of building your dream physique, right? There's so many different ways. And I think what's most important is to experiment and see what works for you in terms of what literally works for you and brings the results, but also what works with your lifestyle, right? And your principles and morals, right? And, you know, the time that you have. So, you know, if you're truly looking to build muscle and build your dream physique, on a clean plant-based diet, either raw or high raw, then, you know, realize the most important part is remaining in the gym, remaining doing calisthenics, right? If that's the route you're taking, and just continue to progress. That is the most important part. Second most important part would be recovery. And then it's your diet, right? So that's all I want to say. Thank you so much for having me on, bro. And I look forward to, you know, chatting more in the future, bro.
Cool. Thank you, Nihu. Much love. And thank you, everyone who listened.